Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I am of course William Ammo. Hey, what's up, Macaulay?
What's up? How's it going?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. That's good to hear you doing all right, and hopefully the listeners out there are doing okay too. So, you know, of course, you know, busy week in sports. You know, we're gonna lead off with the hot stove as the hot stove finally heats up. All of it happened on Friday night. That just happened. So, you know, we're going to talk about, of course, the Grandy man. He switches boroughs. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Beltran, the prodigal son returns. We'll talk about, I'm trying to think who else. Oh, yeah, Cano. Cano leaves and, you know, goes to that Emerald City. And we'll talk about that also. And, of course, we're going to talk Knicks basketball and Nets as they had their first bout last week.
Yep.
Then we're going to talk a little football as we're going on, as the Jets bounce back today against the Raiders. And, of course, Giants are going on right now against they're playing right now. So we'll give you a little update about what's going on in that game. And of course, we're going to talk a little sports entertainment and everything else. And of course, you know the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to speak your mind.
Yes, sir.
And with that, let's talk some hot stove. You know, the big news is, of course, Robinson Cano. Don't you know? He took the money and ran all the way to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we know UMAC, of course, is a diehard Yankee fan. And you know, what's your thoughts on Cano leaving the great city of New York and basically forfeiting his potential face of the Yankees after Derek Jeter retires?
Well, I mean, it's sad to see Robinson Cano go. I mean, for 10 seasons, this guy, you know, averaged like 20-something home runs, close to 100 RBIs, had an average close to .310. And, you know, he was one of the best second basemen in baseball. You know, and he still currently is. And now he's going to be joining the Mariners, who signed him to a ridiculous contract of $240 million. I mean, I don't think he deserves it, but, I mean, I don't blame him for taking that kind of money, because if I was him, I would accept that offer also, you know. But at the same time, I think the Yankees could have pushed harder and could have went after him a little bit more, you know, because he is a homegrown player, you know, from the Yankees farm system. So, you know, I wish the Yankees could have pursued him more and made him feel like they actually wanted him back. But at the end of the day, you know, they didn't offer him much more than the Mariners, and, you know, he'll be in Seattle instead of New York.
I agree with everything you said. You know, it's very reminiscent of when Mets let Jose Reyes go, you know, a few years ago. You know, the Yankees, you know, they – I do agree with them that they shouldn't have given him 10 years, 240, but mm-hmm. they should have showed more of an effort, especially a guy who's grown, you know, who's grown through the system,
yep.
been on the team for 10 years, and won a championship in 2009. And, you know, this guy, you know, he was supposed to be the heir apparent to Jeter, you know, once Jeter retires, which could be after this year or two or three years down the line.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a two-way street. You know, Cano, you know, he wanted to make the most money he can, you know, being a free agent, which is obviously the norm for free agent athletes during free yep. agency. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Cano, you would have thought Cano would have been a little touched by the Mariano you know, send off, you know, with Mariano retiring at the end of the year, you know, you would have thought, you know, he would have wanted to have that, you know, Yankee legacy of spending his entire career as a Yankee and getting, you know, his number retired and his, you know, his number and, his, you know, retired at Monument Park. But, you know, the Cano, it wasn't that important to him, you know. Basically, he, you know, he chose the money and, you know, he went to Seattle.
Yeah, and he has to live up to that contract now. I mean, if Seattle's going to sign him to that big contract like that, I mean, Robinson Cano has to put up monster numbers next year.
Yeah, he's going to have to put up A-Rod numbers when he was in Texas Rangers. I mean, obviously, A-Rod had help.
Yeah.
You know, back in those days. But, you know, and another thing, you know, Seattle has to put a team around him to give him a chance to win, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They have him and, you know, Felix Hernandez, you know, holding down that staff as an ace, you know, in the pitching rotation. But, you know, they're going to need to draw more stars in.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And so, you know, Seattle is a team that's definitely going to be worth watching what they're going to do, and you know, this off season. So.
Yep.
And another team that I'm definitely keeping my eyes on, and it's also related to your team, the Yankees, and of course I'm talking about the New York Mets, as Mets acquired, you know, through free agency, they signed Curtis Granderson to a 4-year, $60 million contract. The Grandy man can in New York, mm-hmm. in Queens now, actually.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm happy about the deal, but I'm cautiously optimistic because, you know, this cannot be the only move that the Mets make in the offseason. Yeah, sure, they signed Chris Young, who's a decent player. He's had some good seasons in the past. But Granderson is a more proven guy. Sure, Granderson strikes out a ton. You know, Yankee Stadium was, you know, made for his power. You know, he hit over 40 home runs, you know, like 2 and 3 years ago. You know, the year before this one, you know, because he was hurt last year, or should I say this year. You know, 2 years in a row, you know, prior to this year, he's hit 40 home runs as a Yankee. So, you know, he has the track record to perform in New York. You know, so, I mean, it's worth watching, you know, how he addressed the Citi Field. I mean, statistically, they, you know, experts predict that most of his home runs that he hit, you know, would have won out in Citi Field. But, you know, it's worth, you know, we'll see how that happens this year.
Yeah.
Or should I say next year? But... You know, I like the move, but, you know, Mets can't stop here. You know, they should go after Arroyo, but then again, Mets apparently don't have much money to spend, and they're looking to most likely be in the trade route because most likely Ike Davis or Lucas Duda is going to be traded, you know, because they're going to – and most likely packaging that deal would be Daniel Murphy, who had a great year last year. He was second in hits in the National League with, I think, 188 hits.
Yep.
And you know, of course, you know, they might trade some of their pitching, maybe Dylan G, John Neese, you know, or maybe even their top pitching prospect, Syndergaard. But, you know, it's worth watching what the Mets are going to do. But, you know, I think they should definitely – sign, you know, sign some pitching, and also get another power bat, you know, preferably a shortstop, because Ruben Tejada definitely regressed this year. So eyes are definitely on the Mets, you know, especially in this city, because Yankees are in 2008 mode, basically. After they missed the playoffs, what did they do? They went back to their Yankee ways and started spending money. They bring Beltran the same day after they lose Granderson to the Mets, and the same day Cano goes to Seattle. You know, the Yankees, you know, they just dust, you know, their, you know, the dirt off their shoulder, not to steal a pun from Jay-Z, who are ironically, you know, drove Cano out of town. But, you know, the Yankees do what they do. They spend the money and they regroup and they bring back, you know, another former Met. Stop me if you heard this one before. Yankees signed another former Met in Carlos Beltran.
Yeah.
Of course, he had his career year with the Mets in 06, the last time the Mets went to the postseason. And he had a great Met career, but unfortunately, you know, the most memorable play he's going to be remembered as, you know, with the New York Mets is, of course, his last at-bat, you know, in the NLCS against the Cardinals when Adam Wainwright struck him out looking.
Yeah, but other than that, he's been clutch in October.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Besides
yeah.
that, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
He gets money in October.
Oh, yeah. He hit 3 home runs that postseason also, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, he was clutch. I mean, other than that, at bat, Wainwright's a great pitcher. He's not like some guy out of nowhere that just, you know, you know, that just beat him. I mean, Adam Wainwright is currently the ace of, mm-hmm. of the Cardinals.
Yep.
Because if you remember, Jason Isringhausen, two-time former Met, he was the closer of that 06 team, and then he injured himself, and then Wainwright, you know, he came out. He instead of being a starter, he became, you know, a closer for that team, and you know, the rest is history.
Right.
And now he's one of the best starters in the game.
Yeah, definitely.
So what's your thoughts on Beltran? You know, he's one of the greatest performers in postseason history.
I think it's a good move. You know, I think he's going to definitely add that power to our lineup. He's going to, you know, I think he'll bat in front of Teixeira and Alfonso Soriano. So he'll probably bat three in the lineup. And, you know, it's a good replacement for Cano. You know, I don't think Beltran will ever replace Cano, but,
right.
You know, he'll put up similar numbers. And, you know, like I said, he's clutch in October. And if the Yankees, you know, want to go to the World Series, they need a player who will perform in October, and Beltran is that player.
Yeah, and I just remembered, Wainwright was saying during the postseason, the World Series, that he predicted, and I mean, in his dream, he predicted that Beltran would leave the Cardinals and go to the Yankees and play in the World Series. He might have said that Beltran's going to win the World Series, but I don't remember. I'd have to recheck his quotes. But, yeah, so far everything he said in his dream, it's came into fruition so far. Well, except for Beltran, you know, playing the World Series since the 2014 season hasn't started yet.
That man is a psychic, Wainwright.
But yeah, I think it's a good move for you guys. Definitely, you know, he definitely still has it. You know, he's getting up there in age. What, he's 37, but you know, that guy, he's a clutch player.
Yep.
You know, I definitely, for 3 years they slightly overpaid for him, but you know, to get a guy like that. And especially Royals was apparently going to offer him the 3-year deal. You know, you gotta get the guy. He's a clutch player. You know, just like Granderson, you know, he performed well in New York. So I see no problem with the Yankees bringing him in.
It's a good move.
Yep, and of course you re-signed Kuroda, the ace of the rotation.
I like that move too.
Yeah, I agree. He had to come back. There's no doubt about that. And with that, let's shift over to the Knicks, a team that needs all the help they can get.
Man, those uniforms, man, kryptonite.
And, yeah, the orange uniform, man. It's the kryptonite to these Knicks. You know
what's going on?
Of course, you know, we were. You know, after the game, what was it, Thursday, the Nets versus the Knicks, you know, the Knicks, you know, they beat up on the Nets, you know, in Brooklyn, you know. The battle, you thought coming into the season would be the battle for the East, but in actuality, it was the battle of the least.
Yeah.
You know, they were both battling to stay out of the basement, basically.
Yeah, they're both bad right now.
I know, and of course, Knicks beat them up, and that was, I think, the first time in franchise history they lost, 30 points, the Nets, back-to-back in their history. That never happened. And then Knicks, oddly enough, the next game after that against the Bucks, was it the Bucks? I'm trying to remember what team it was. What was the team we just beat? Oh, Magic's. The Knicks beat up on the Magic, and that was like 30 points, too. So that was like the first time in NBA history that a team on a 9-game losing streak goes on a 2-game winning streak and beats up on, you know, the opposition by at least 30 points. So that was NBA history. And what does the Knicks do now? They lose to the division-leading and divisional rival Celtics. But what was the score, like 30, 40 points? I don't even remember.
Yeah, something crazy. I mean, they lost like 40 points, I think, or close to it.
Yeah, it was like 12, maybe 39. I can't. I'd have to do the math in my head. It was 112-73. So I mean, Knicks didn't show up. Carmelo, you know, he scored, a very empty, 19 points. Basically nothing good happened. I mean, Tim Hardaway Jr. started first time for his career, but, you know, he only scored, 8 points in 25 minutes? I mean, nobody did anything. Jeff Green killed us. You know, basically the whole Celtics team, you know, you would have thought Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Larry Bird was on the team, the way how they whoop our behinds like that.
And they're a team that's under 500. They're not like they're not Pacers right now, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, it was just, before this game, they were leading us, 2.5 or so?
Yeah.
So, I mean, even though as horrible as, you know, the Knicks and the Nets are doing, you know, they still had a chance, you know, to, you know, get that division.
Yeah, because the division sucks.
It's horrible. This is the worst basketball division I could ever think of.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of any division that's horrible like this.
It's bad. No one is over 500.
Nobody. Nobody is.
But then again, the whole East is bad right now. I mean, the top two teams are, right, I'd say, the Pacers and the Heat right now. That's
Oh, yeah. Other than the Pacers and the Heat, I mean, everybody else is just, man.
They suck.
They shouldn't even play on Rucker Park, man. They're just an outright disgrace to basketball. Shoot. The Washington Generals, you know, the Harlem Globetrotters rivals could beat them. the way how they're playing. I mean, come on. You know, I was looking up Beat to talk about the Knicks, you know, finally winning 2 games in a row. Hopefully they show up today and, you know, we have a positive thing, even though they were just on the 9-game losing streak. But that loss, man, that left the bad taste in our mouth, man.
Yeah, they always have to disappoint on a Sunday.
Exactly, man. And the Nets, the Nets, they bounced back on Saturday. They beat up on the Bucks. You know, but bottom line is both teams aren't doing so well.
No, they're still bad.
Absolutely. And, the Jets, you know, the Jets, they bounced back. Geno Smith had, you know, probably his best game of his career. He rushed. He threw for a touchdown. He was good. But the first time probably all year, the offense bailed out the defense and Antonio Martin, I think, the guy who blocked a field goal and scored for a touchdown. So credit him for doing that. I mean, it was a good game, but the defense, especially in the second half, didn't play Rush Ryan defense at all.
Yeah, this was the best offensive game for the Jets.
Yeah, absolutely. They won by the final score 37-27, and away they go. You know, much needed win. You know, Geno Smith. He bounced back. You know, this is a stepping stone. You know, after the post game he realized that he should use his, when he runs, he uses feet, his speed, he's a better quarterback. He's a better threat.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so it looks like he learned that today. So hopefully this will be the start. And another thing about the defense, they let a long pass go. I think it was for 63 yards and also for a touchdown. And then they had this other guy who rushed for, I think, 48 yards for a touchdown as well. So, I mean, the defense, the defense was very shaky.
Yeah. But offense bailed them out.
Yeah, offense and special teams bailed them out.
Mm-hmm.
So, kudos to the Jets. Hopefully they can keep this ship going because they got to win outright if they want a chance to win.
Yeah, still in this wild card.
Yep, they are. They just got to keep winning. And the big game is that last game of the season against the Dolphins, where they'll get some redemption, hopefully, if they can win all these games.
Yeah.
And with that, let's shift over to the Giants.
Well, Giants right now, they're losing 31-14, and it's about under 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So they're also trying to stay in this, you know, playoff race right now. Because, you know, they're about two games, I'd say, a game or two games in the wild card spot. So if they want to stay alive, they have to win these games. And right now they're not doing it. So they're trailing by 17. Hopefully they can come back.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, they went off to, you know, a slow start, 0-6. And then they've won, what, four of the last five after that. And then they, you know, they lost to Dallas. And, you know, they haven't been playing well since.
Yeah, that's what's going to kill them. That 0-6 start is what's going to kill them from potentially making the playoffs.
Exactly.
If they had gone 3-3, they would have a great chance. They would be leading the division right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That start is going to hurt them.
You're absolutely right. And trying to think what else. You know, the Rangers, they lost to the Devils 4-3.
Power Rangers.
Yep, they lost to the Devils in overtime. The Rangers are playing better. You know, after they went to that slow start when they started off on the road. They played their first nine games on the road, but they're playing a little better now. And another thing, congratulations to Henrik Lundqvist. He signed, I think, what was it, a 7-year, $59 million contract.
Oh, so, congrats to him.
Congratulations to him. Hopefully he'll bring that cup, you know, the Stanley Cup back to New York City.
Yeah.
94 has been a long time. It's been a long time since 94, since that happened.
It's been a while.
So hopefully he could bring that back.
Yeah, he'll finish his career with the Rangers.
Yep, absolutely. It's good to be the king. And
one of the best goalies in hockey.
Oh, absolutely. And shifting gears to WWE, looks like the Wyatt family is gonna take control over Daniel Bryan because Bray Wyatt keep hinting that, you know, for him to join them.
And, of course, Daniel Bryan's resistant.
Yeah, of course. But they really ruined that storyline. They could have kept that storyline going longer.
Yeah.
About him being missing. But, you know, we'll see how the story unfolds. Because Daniel Bryan, he's gonna fight against all three members of the Wyatt family at Tables, Ladders, and Chairs pay-per-view event, and CM Punk, he's gonna fight against all three members of the Shield.
It's gonna be interesting. It's both matches.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to think what else happened. Oh yeah, so it is official. It's gonna be in a fake unification match between Cena and Orton, barring some weird ending. You know, there should be one champion, you know.
One title,
one champion. Unless if they're going to be like Jericho and walk around with both titles, you know, during, you know, Jericho's Undisputed Champion days.
Right, right.
I mean, unifying the titles is great, but my only fear is that if they unify the titles, you're basically going to see the same guys like Cena and Orton basically battling for the titles.
Yeah, that's true.
Because the World Heavyweight title, that's more of a title that they give guys like Orton or CM Punk or a guy like who's never had the title. You know, they gave him a shot, you know, as a championship and see whether or not if he's worthy enough to be a WWE champion. Kind of like how the Intercontinental Championship used to be.
Yeah,
back
exactly.
During the whole Hogan Attitude Era, you know, before the merger between WWE, WCW, and ECW.
Right,
you know,
right.
2001. So before that, you know, the Intercontinental was like that stepping stone title that, you know, put you, you know, like one step further to being a champion, you know, the heavyweight champion. So we shall see. Hopefully It would have been better to me if I was running WWE, which I'm not, obviously. I would have made it against CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan and have those two guys. I mean, obviously, you know, Cena and Orton are the two top guys in the business. You know, they've been there longer. I mean, other than Undertaker and, you know, the Attitude Era type guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, the post-Attitude Era guys, you know, Cena and Orton are like the two top guys, basically.
Yeah.
I understand that, but it would have worked if those guys didn't win, like, Cena's like a 14-time champion. Orton's like an 11-time champion. Had they not won so many times, it would have been more, you know, it would have been more
epic
and historic.
Yep.
But that's why I'm not really feeling this match as much.
I did like the that comparison that they did on Monday Night Raw, where they showed all their records and all their achievements.
Right. Yeah, I like that too. It's always great to, you know, acknowledge the history.
Yeah, but you know you're right. They've held the title so many times. It's like it's become boring now.
Exactly. I mean, it's like 2005 all over again. You know, they're both the champions. I mean, we've seen this millions of times before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had it been two guys who never won it or rarely wins it, you know, it would have been a lot more epic. Like when Jericho won it, when it was that Vengeance pay-per-view event, it was everybody was expecting it to be Rock versus Stone Cold. You know, to unify the titles because Rock was the WCW champion and Stone Cold was the WWE champion at the time.
Yeah.
So we were expecting there would be another epic Austin versus Rock match. But, you know, Jericho upset everybody and he beat The Rock for the WCW title and then he beat Stone Cold, which would be Stone Cold's last championship reign for the Undisputed Championship. And that's what made it epic, even though those two top guys got defeated, you know, Jericho was such a popular character that put him to that next level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what WWE should have did with this unification match, but we shall see what they're going to do.
Yeah, I want to see that.
We should have saved this for WrestleMania. This is what they should have did for, this should have been the main event for WrestleMania 30 that's coming up.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, it is more like a WrestleMania match. Yeah.
To unify the titles, I mean, that's pretty epic right there.
It is.
It would have been CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan to unify the titles at WrestleMania 30. That's what I would have did. But let me see what else happened in WWE. I guess that's about it. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head.
Of anything else regarding WWE. I mean, I guess... Yeah, that's about it. I can't think of anything else, too.
Oh, yeah, the Slammy is tomorrow, so I'll definitely check that out. You have anything you'd like to say?
Oh, right, the Slammies. There you go, yeah. Bret Hart's going to be there.
Oh, I hear there's rumors Shawn Michaels is going to be there also. There might be a Shawn Michaels, promo against Daniel Bryan after he put him in the yes lock. But, you know, that's rumors right now. We'll see tomorrow if that's true.
That should be great.
Yeah, definitely. Anything else you'd like to say?
Check out my show, iMac, Saturdays at 11. And check out this show, Sundays at 6 p.m. Only on Block Talk Radio.
You got it. You got that right, Mac. So, folks, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for listening to another episode of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, McCauley Matthew, I am William Ramo. I'll see you guys next week. So long. Have a great weekend, everybody.